This Dharma talk was given to the Clearway Zen Sangha by Lotus Vu. This talk is made available free of charge. More information about Clearway Zen can be found at www.clearwayzen.ca.
Talk about topic related to the holiday and the coming holidays that we celebrate every year in Canada. Actually, I celebrated as well as that. Didn't matter if we're Buddhist or Christian. I remember walking with sisters and friends all the way from our location in Vietnam and about the outskirts of town to downtown. I mean, city big to the main church downtown. Very beautiful cathedral. Walked around it, looking at all the lights and the festivities, doing things, set up manger with baby Jesus in there. And as a kid, I remember, it's really fun. Didn't make any difference to me whether it's Christian or Buddhist. When the Vesak holiday, the Buddhist holiday, celebrated the Buddha's birthday, there's this little baby pointing his hand up. For me, I just like lining up and pouring water all over him. So for most of us, Christmas is a very interesting time. It is a very stressful time as well. As well as a nice, joyous time afterwards, after the Christmas day, that we get to rest and relax. But before that, rush, 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 chop, 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 chop. Wrap Christmas presents. It's become pretty commercialized. And I made it a point years ago not to do that. Because I don't think I'm very good at picking presents of what people want. Probably runs in the family. My brother has never given me a present that I could actually donating it every year. One year he gave the standard ugly sweater. So we must remember what the spirit of Christmas has been past. It was celebrating birth of someone who has came this life and made an impact those lives. And then we add all kinds of other meaning to it, but we're really sure that Jesus is born on this day because it was church decided to use a pagan holiday and it for Christmas. But irregardless, when he was born, this period of time is to celebrate his birth, like we do so in April, late April, early May. These are holidays to celebrate his birth. It is in remembrance what that person's life was about. What that person's life was contributing to. What is that? What he has done for the short time that he's been on earth. And his journey as well. And I enjoy reading about Jesus and different writings about. Then I found that he was very relatable. The Buddha's story has been written 2,500 years ago. And somehow over that period of time, we changed things a little bit. It almost made him superhuman. When I started studying Buddhism, I thought he was. Why is everybody bowing to this guy? The more I learn and practice Zen and read his teachings passed down in the oldest texts, the more I found that Buddha has flaws. Subtle ones. And he's not as superhuman as what most of us like to be. But the closest example to that is the life of Jesus. He made a lot of mistakes. Well, yeah, he was missing for a long time. Nobody knows where he goes. But for the 3 years of the period that he was teaching, he helped a lot of people, but he also made. For starters, shouldn't make the Jews not like him. You don't go into a Jewish temple and trash and say, you're not worshiping correctly. And he's also very human. And in our Zen practice, we see ourselves, and the more we practice, we see ourselves aspiring to be more and actually becoming more real. And one of the most real experiences of being imperfect, being human, when Jesus was being crucified. On the cross, there was a moment that he lost faith. Through all the pain that he endured on the way there, there's no suffering. He accepted graciously. But for a brief moment on the cross, doubted. He cried out, from all the pain and anguish that his body experienced, God had forsaken. And then after that doubtful moment, he realized, accepted himself too. And he surrendered and said, thy will be done. In our practice, a lot of times we struggle to accept, to surrender to what unfolds, what is displayed in front of us. We struggle with the desire to want things to be differently. And although we don't have the same trial like Jesus, I hope not. We struggle nevertheless. I mean, imagine being tortured and executed, you know, in the most brutal way and having to accept that as it unfolds. And for a lot of us, it's not physical, it's mental. So the life of Jesus and the account of Jesus through his disciples brings about this very human journey of learning to accept our present moment and our humanity. You know, sometimes when I read the accounts of the Buddha and the longer the further he is away from our present time, the more fantastic the story becomes, almost like science fiction, but I would say right along Tolkien, where he has superpowers and just waves his hand and everything's okay. Wouldn't we love things to be like that? When I realized that a lot of those writings, especially in Mahayana Buddhism, they love that stuff. is more of a example, like or symbolism than something that's really happening. But of course, as a kid, I read it. Whoa, it's real fantasy good. Imagining it happened for real, you know. The Buddha would go into his samadhi and project this great light. Of course, as you practice, then you realize that that means something completely different altogether. It's not like a superhero comic. Pretty much describes a lot of meditation experience and a lot of insights, but not as we imagine it. Describes it. And what's experienced, completely different. You understood. Yeah, the description is pretty close. Unless you experience it, it actually sounds fantastic. So, but for Buddha, he's so far away from us, from our time, 500 years ago. So hard to imagine what he's like as real. We have some writings, some accounts of. I think the closest human Buddha that can understand and comprehend is through the writings of Thich Nhat Hanh, Old Path, White Cloud. In that novel, Thich Nhat Hanh wrote about the Buddha in a very humanly experience, where he struggled with dealing with his cousin, Devadatta, who's trying to kill them multiple times. Repented, finally he accepts his cousin into his sangha. Then the man turns around and creates a schism in the sangha, causing the sangha to split into two and have conflict and almost use sticks and stones to fight with each other. Some people's got all of habits that never goes away. So in Whole Path White Cloud, the late Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh wrote that account, and I remember being in tears listening to it, to the audio book, reading the novel. Because you can see the Buddha as a very human being. He left the sangha at that time. Witnessing the schism and conflict that was happening. He left. He left and he walked out on his own. Went into a different forest, wandered off by himself. Then he came across five monks who living harmonious. Then, according to Thich Nhat Hanh's account, he asked them, "How are you able to live and be at peace with you?" And that's when they share with him their understanding and the foundations of their collaboration. He came up with six rules of harmonious sangha. Well, he didn't come up, borrowed it. But he brought it back to the sangha who was in conflict at a schism, thanks to his cousin. So when we look at the life of Jesus, as well as the life of the Buddha, upon close examination, is a very human journey. A human journey, a human drama, trail. Almost all of Jesus' disciples, he's got 13 of them, betrayed him. And he was arrested by the Romans and sentenced to death. And for the Buddha, he had to witness his two best disciples. Sariputra, mentioned in the Heart Sutra, and Moggallanda, his two closest and best disciples, older than him, passed away for him. What was more poignant was his son, Rahula, who followed him, his footsteps, from monastic, also passed away for him. Lived to a ripe old age of 80 at that time. Pretty rare. So, in this very human journey, he experienced a very human life with the challenges of being a human being. And in Old Path White Clouds, which the novel I highly recommend, listen to online or read. Jehan was able to share this very human story. But I remember reading it as a teenager, and I enjoyed it a lot more than the Buddha that what it's making be a god in the temple thing. Jehan has a way of communicating people's hearts with his writing. Humanize the Buddha's practice, struggles, and growth. As you all know, I started teaching Zen in 2009. It's been quite some time now. And I'm a very different person from when I started. I've grown deep in my practice. Grown as human, and so have a lot of them for the year. Whatever your journey are, where it takes, always remember that the human experience, just like it has been experienced by the Buddha and Jesus, is an experience of learning to accept the present, learning to surrender to what is, and also understanding that the learning never ends. When the devotee was on his deathbed, he said to Ananda, you know, there are some rules that can be done away with. So you figure it out. And Ananda was so plagued with grief of the Buddha's eventual passing that he forgot to ask the Buddha which rules to be done away with. But I'm pretty sure if the Buddha wanted to be specific, he would have. So he was asking his students and his followers to make their own decisions together, to grow. Because the practice is not a stagnant. It flows and changes with each experience as we learn and grow from it. In celebrating Jesus' birth, or his presence on earth, time we had him, and the short 3 years that he was able to teach. I think it's important to recognize what his life was about. But he's not here to save us. Behold. But he's here, like all of us, experiencing the journey of learning and growing and accepting everything that I've told. And as a human being, I know a lot of people would agree with Son of God, but he's also Son of Man. So which is it? Pretty sure. My son. But for all of us, it's important to examine our own life and see the example of the Buddha, the example of Jesus. We have a tendency that when we practice, we expect things to be handy-dandy and everything be okay, and then it's all smooth sailing from here. That wasn't exemplified by the life of Jesus. Oh my God. The Passion of Christ, and I was like, oh my God. Certainly, once you're enlightened, you don't get a good ride. And when I look at the life of the Buddha, especially in Old Passport Cloud and in the earlier text, he had experience trying to stop a war between his clan and another kingdom. And he couldn't stop it. He couldn't negotiate the peace that he had to witness his entire Sakya clan wiped out. So even in the Buddha's life, that's not avoidable. I mean, even after the guy left politics, he still was, you know, subject to multiple attempts and assassinations, and literally one by his own cousin. It wasn't a fun ride for for the awakened. So when we practice, we're expecting life to give us a nice, fun, straight ride. Where which example did you see from that? Not the Buddha or Jesus. We have like this very, call it infantile fantasy. Happily ever after we can show, or even before can we have peace and everything's fine? Life doesn't work like that. When you graduate from a class, usually your lessons get harder. You probably have more skill to deal with it and learn, but as we all know, when you graduate from a class and move on to the next one, the lessons are more difficult. You're at a different level of skill. And so life will give you exactly what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. And for Jesus, he's really on a high level. So his test, my God, it's definitely not easy. Glad I'm not at that level. For the Buddha, witnessing all his close students, his family, his son passed away. Experiencing the ravages of, I call it now, chronic pain. But the Buddha had a injury in his back. And he experienced chronic pain for a long time. At the end of, you know, when he got in his old age, walking around, and it was constant pain. So I'm not sure they take any opioids back then, probably not. But you see, it's the life of being healed, of being in this form, of experiencing this journey. And however the ride unfolds, just remember, when you're suffering, you're not learning the lesson. And when you learn the lesson, it's almost a guarantee the lesson gets a little harder. You know, anyone here play games, right? Every level you level up, it's harder. And always remember, it's not harder in a way that you cannot deal with. It's just a little bit harder to increase your skill. And that's what life usually brings. Not what you desire, not what you want, what you need. I don't know what the meaning of Jesus needing that whole journey, but I'm pretty sure that it tested his resolve and faith. And despite the challenge, despite doubt, he held on. Not the kind of faith that we think in some being. It's faith in this thing called empty in Buddhism. Maybe they call something else in different religions. I say tomato, I say tomato. And once experienced, we have to learn to trust it more. And trust it again. Yeah. Surrender to the flow of the Tao, is called the Tao. To surrender to what is always present. And remember that what is presented in front of you have three options. Change it. That doesn't work, accept it. That doesn't work, leave it. Those are the three options that are always there. But for a lot of us, we don't like those options. Go, I can't change it. Oh no, but I have to change it. You know, I want to accept it. I can't accept this. It's just too intolerant. Well, why do you have to accept a toothache? Take some pain medication. Or the last resort, leave it. And sometimes moving on with our lives is a gift. It's a gift to the unfolding is the flow. We don't want it to happen that way, but that's where it's going. And sometimes going with the flow of life and the changing conditions, and as my teacher always says, as the condition presents in fruits and flowers in front of you, pick the fruit. You don't go to a tree that hasn't flowering fruit. As the condition unfolds, and as they reveal themselves, you follow. In Vietnamese, we call it doi yuing, is following the changing conditions. Like I say this often with a lot of my friends that was past, but don't bang your head against a closed door. Look for one that's open. I'm pretty sure one door closes, another one opens, right? Look for the one that's open and go through there. That's surrendering to the flowing condition. And for Jesus, the only one that opens is, I'm just going to accept it here. And he did. When I was in Air River, I had a theory and I discussed with Ajah there, Ajah Puddhadhammo. I had a theory that maybe when Jesus surrendered, he just completely relaxed his body and he just went into Naroda Samapati, the ninth jhana, right? And in the ninth jhana, your body is almost like in a state of coma. Your heart rate slows down, your physiology slows down, everything slows down. And to the external person, of course, back then, there's no scientific check to see if you have a pulse or things like that. you might look dead. And when his body was carried into the cave, probably 7 days later, he came out, which is pretty much the maximum you can stay in Naroda Samapati, right? So came out, and this is my theory, right? It could be true, it could not, and I don't know. We have no way of knowing, but they just fun to think about it. Is that when he wakes up, well, if his body's missing, they'll go looking for him. So when his wife, Mary Magdalene, at that time, they broke her off differently, but in a Gnostic gospel of Dead Sea Scrolls, he was something very different. And his mom probably decided it's easier to say his body flew into heaven, so they won't look for him. And my theory is he probably sneaked off. And with that story, they're not looking for him. And why would they tell anyone, or especially his disciple, who's all denied him, renounced him when he was arrested, that he sneaked off? Of course they wouldn't tell those people. So there's the story go. His body flew to him. I'm pretty sure he lived out a quiet life. After that kind of limelight, I'm pretty sure I don't like it anymore. But that's one of my theory. And I just say, that's interesting. Possible. So I'll open the floor for discussions and theories. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about life. I really come to like him as a over the years. Once you strip down all this religious stuff, Jesus as a person is very human. Very real. And if you want to hear more interesting stuff about him, I suggest reading a book by Ajahn Chah called Resurrecting. So he wrote a book about, and you know, Ajahn Chah is a very famous Zen teacher, good Zen teacher. Like, who's retired? I'm tired. There's no retirement for us in Asia. So I would recommend you read the book Resurrect Jesus through the, you know, lens of a Zen practitioner. who's is a Westerner, so he's grown up in this culture. And interestingly, he has a hobby of reading about Christianity, like I do. So that's that. I'd like to, if you're not here next week, like to thank you for coming today, and all, for all of you who come to contribute and participate on potluck in China. I know you're all cooking, slicing, dicing, make this happen. And for all of you in Ontario, we'll be having an online class next week as well, online sitting, and John will be giving a wonderful talk, as always. Yeah, I don't think we'll be in person next week here at the church, and we'll probably have a big orchestra practicing there. Probably. Which interferes a little bit with the sitting. So we'll do online. Could you notify the church that... Okay, good.
This podcast is created by members of the Clearway Zen Sangha. If you enjoyed the talk and wish to show support, donation information can be found on our website, www.clearwayzen.ca. Thank you for listening.